PKN 503, how are you boys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Got to see part of an eclipse, same as you, Woody.
I can't believe you didn't see all of the eclipse. You were like a 15-minute drive from totality.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah.
It was longer than I thought, because my grandparents live like in the thick of the totality, and my grandma, being like a sweet woman who clearly thinks I'm partially retarded, like texted me and was like, Did you get those glasses? Don't look up. And I'm like, oh my God, what is Fox News saying today about people looking up at the fucking sun?
It's true. Everybody, a lot of people were.
It's absurd.
I think, like, she thinks highly of you and that you might be presidential material.
Mm-hmm. I'll choose to take that interpretation as well. But yeah, it was a couple hours south, but we got like 91% here. And so it got pretty dark outside.
It was like 84
a good
here.
While. Yeah. And like I saw like a confused chipmunk who like started burying something and then like ran back up on top of my fence and then ran back down and searched around and then ran back up. Could have been standard chipmunk behavior. I'm not that clued into
it.
But
yeah. No, that was nutty. He doesn't do stuff like
he
that.
He doesn't do stuff like that. He's usually very, very reserved.
Industrious. He'd be over there doing his.
Birds got super, super loud, and then there was no birds at all. And then they got really loud again when it came back to light. And so it was kind of neat. Sat in my sunroom and then went on my back patio, looked around.
Did you see that, like, block of birds I called? Like the Beastmaster on my back porch?
I didn't.
Look at WhatsApp. Like, scroll up to yesterday. I was out there. And I had like an entire flock of birds like circling above me, like screaming.
It was so dark where my grandparents are in totality. And so like they were like, oh yeah, it got so dark, like lamps. That like nighttime lamps were like turning on in the yard, like that kind of stuff.
And it was
like,
dark. Oh, really neat. People don't know. I went to totality. I'd rode my motorcycle 1,000 miles, and I went to the Columbus, Ohio Zoo to check out the totality surrounded by monkeys and people. And it was pretty cool. It was really dark. I had never seen anything like it before. There is a big difference.
Then I came to the Atlanta Zoo and avoided the people.
Kyle's chomping at that bit.
I was like,
contact.
But it was a really good time. I've been excited to talk about this. The coolest part, it was a really good idea to go to the zoo. Not the animals. My animals didn't give a fuck. I'm surrounded by primates, and they're the laziest animals in the world. And mm-hmm. they didn't move all day. They didn't move during the eclipse, and they didn't move afterwards. I thought they'd be like shaking the cage and going bonkers. They didn't give a fuck. They just thought it was sunset or something.
The bars were electrified.
Yeah. However, the people made it cool, because like there were a lot of kids at the zoo, and the kids were like eclipse hype men. They're like, you know, they're just getting excited as it's coming. It's like 5 minutes away. They're like, it's just a sliver. There's only a sliver of sun left. And the other guy, I see it. You know, the kid's like, this is amazing. And they go, woo, woo. They're like, this is the best day. My life. It was like, me too. And it, like, so this is the environment that I watched the eclipse in, and they were just so psyched. And then even the adults were like hooting and hollering, like we just scored a touchdown. And my hotel was in the totalitarian. I can't say the word. Totality. Thank you. Thank you for the lifeline. My hotel was in the totality path. And I was going to just watch it from the courtyard, but I'm really glad I went to the zoo, because I would have just been like at a picnic table by myself with the glasses seeing it. Yeah. This was a much better experience.
Fireworks is similar. If you've ever been to like a really professional fireworks show, like it's literally the same thing. I've watched them by myself and been like, fireworks. But then when there's a bunch of kids around losing their minds, that's the only time when you're okay with it too, because I don't need to hear dialogue. We're the movies. We're watching the movie and like Philip Seymour Hoffman's getting out his dying words. Shut up, kids. Mm-hmm. But at the fireworks show, let's cheer it on.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was pretty cool. It was a big hype show, big motorcycle ride. It was a blast.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
It got like 84, 85% Atlanta. So nothing like what you guys
did
saw.
It get a lot colder?
I didn't feel like the air temperature changed, because it didn't. But if you were standing in the sun, suddenly the sun wasn't warming you anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the radiation heat that the sun striking you that you would feel like that turned off, and that was noticeable.
Now I wish I had a thermometer, because it was my impression that the temperature dropped by like more than 10 degrees. But for you to say the air temp didn't, I'm like, oh, well, shucks. Now I'm not sure. Maybe it just was the radiant heat.
No, even where I was, like it, because maybe because I was standing outside in the sun prior to it happening, but like it was noticeably cooler. Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't actually hang out outside until the sun came back, because it's like once it starts getting lighter again, it's like, all right, I've seen the apex of this event, and now it's just kind of fading away to a normal sunny day.
I don't mean to be an asshole and act like you guys didn't see it, but that word is not real.
The totality
is just like when it's really centered and you only see the ridge of the sun around the moon, it is a different experience. That is when everyone went bonkers. The other part of the experience, it was neat to see the sun not be a full circle, but the full thing was the main event. And then, so once it got to like, you know, it goes to 100%. And then once it was like 98% on the other side, I was done. I'm like walking back to my motorcycle. Like,
My grandma was telling me that she was really enjoying it. And she was telling my grandpa, like, you got to get out here. It's so cool. It's so neat. You know, it's all cool now. It looks like it's nighttime. And she's like, and I told your grandpa this, and he came out for maybe 3 seconds and said, well, ain't that something? And then he went back inside. Didn't even wait.
Grandfather's a trip.
he just didn't care. He's like, whatever. Like,
I've been doing my thing. You know how many eclipses I've seen, boy?
Not a lot, I bet.
Come on.
Unless Missouri has historically been just this apex of eclipse activity, which is only the best.
One of the reasons
I
put all that effort into it was how rare this is. There's another one coming into America in 2033, but that's Alaska, so that's not very easy. Then the next one's 2043, and I legit might be dead by then. Like,
oh, you'll
I'll be in my early 70s. I'll probably be alive, but it is like my health insurance will be pretty expensive by the next eclipse. Yeah. Like, that's for sure.
You won't be riding your motorcycle 1,000 miles to see it.
Yeah,
it'll be a hover cycle.
And then I forget. Jackie told me when it's coming to North Carolina, but I will be very dead. I'll be like 50 years dead.
Yeah, I was looking at that timeline as well. And it was like, I was like, oh, there's one through Georgia. And I like was looking at the paths before I was looking at the dates. It's like, oh, Georgia, right through Kyle's neck of the woods. And 2078.
Ooh.
We'll all be dead. Like, that's
50 years. Yeah. You and Kyle have an outside shot.
55 years. There is no way.
See, well, all right. So
what are you currently? 32?
It might be hard to get to 88 now or whatever. Yeah. But if you think about it, it might not be that hard to get to 88 in 30 years. Or it might be really hard. That's the other thing. That's what I'm
hoping. Or it could be unbelievable.
I'm hoping it's hard to get to 35. I've been watching the Ukraine thing more. I don't want to shift gears yet, but I've been watching that. It's so scary over there, dude. It's so scary.
Dude,
I'm so glad I'm not a Ukrainian. I saw them catch a bunch of Ukrainians trying to flee the country. They were packed into this European van like sardines, like fucking circus clowns, and they were dragging all of them out. Get out of there, you cowards! And they're not even able to scurry away, so the men are just being thrown in a pile of living men who are just like, we are cowards.
You don't want to die in war that is clearly lost.
Absolutely not. You are just not a real patriot. I hope that I am not. I hope you're not in my fucking unit when it's time to defend the U.S. against the Kriegs.
Kyle, do you really think they could win? I don't know.
Dude, it's been over for so long, Kyle.
It's like, what do you mean by winning? The end of this, there's going to be territorial lines perhaps drawn. I think more territory is better than less. I think that that it's worth fighting for that, you know, for a better victory. Like, you don't.
Right. A better loss even, right?
Or like, a better loss, yeah.
Yeah.
This is like the postseason where it's like, you know, the Blues making the playoffs was a win. It's like, it wasn't. Like,
I don't think it's that bad.
Well, Taylor, you can surely see Kyle's point. Like, there's big loss and little loss. And that's kind of
I'm being silly there. But like, yeah, the idea that like a bunch of men in their 40s, 50s should be going to die on the front lines against their will is outrage.
I can't exactly tell what the truth is. Like, someone told me the average age of the Ukrainian recruits now are in their 50s. And I'm like, average? Fuck you. You're just full of shit. You have to be. I don't believe there's an equal number of 70 and 30-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't
or
be
that the
average.
Majority is 50s, you know, or that doesn't make any sense.
That so many young people have died or fled at the onset of it.
Taylor, don't you think it just doesn't pass the sniff
there's
test 60, that the average
Ukrainians.
Age is 50-something?
No, I didn't see 50-something. I saw like 47 or something like that last time I looked into it. But either way, that's very old. And it does make sense because, like, Ukraine is outmatched by Russia. Like, Russia has a lot more people. Like, it's been literally
four times
it's
as many.
It's been two straight years of Russia's running out of ammo. Russia's running out of this. Russia's supply lines are shutting down. Russia's being humiliated on the global stage. And meanwhile, they're marching forward.
I watch a lot of Ukrainian propaganda. And when I do, it can be a little tough to figure out, like, how it's going. But I also monitor, there's a website called, like, Deep State Live or Deep State Map. It's something close to that. And it pretty accurately shows where the front lines are. And you can click, like, through the calendar, go forward and backwards. And it is all moving in one direction, and it's not the one the Ukrainians prefer. Like, at least maybe it was 18 months ago or 6 months ago. I'm a little fucked up. But the Ukrainians did gain, like, a little bit of territory. And there was this thing, like, you know what? At this rate, in a mere 700 years, they'll have recovered all that territory. But at least it was going in the right direction. And as you know, the way these things kind of work in war, that you kind of press, and then break through. And I'm like, maybe that's what this looks like. Maybe this is what it looks like before the breakthrough. It no longer feels like that. Now it's the Russians pressing.
Like, I would say, like, if you're looking for, like, a better, more palatable loss or a not win condition, a loss condition, I guess you'd call it, is like the better loss would be stopping throwing all of these people's lives at the wall for no reason. Like, how about you end with less? Like, Russia's not going to lose the Donetsk and the Luhansk region.
I don't understand your mindset here. Like, I don't get it. It'd be like, yeah, dude, they're just going to let them have Missouri. We'll go to Idaho. Like, what is that? You couldn't make me leave.
If they were coming about Ukraine.
Well, they're not asking you to go fight. But you're talking about what Ukrainians should do. If I'm a Ukrainian, I can't believe they're throwing Ukrainian lives. That's the lives. It's their land.
If
the Mexicans were in Louisiana and they were about to be in Alabama or whatever's next to it, I'd be like, no, they can't fucking have Alabama.
Let's not talk about that made up scenario. Let's talk about the real scenario. You're saying that all these Ukrainians should, you know,
okay, now
they,
I'm
they
a Ukrainian.
Want to defend. They want to defend their country. Clearly, hundreds of thousands of them don't feel a connection enough to be like, I'm going to die for this region that doesn't interest
me. Then they've broken the law.
Okay, well, then some wartime government can just shut down elections and be like, which they can, because, you know, power is everything.
Just like ours.
Yes, our government.
That's how governments work. That's what our government
is. Yes, it doesn't make FDR. It just. Like, if it's not better, it's not better for an average Ukrainian to just keep fighting and knowing, like, you're going to go to the front lines, you're going to get probably killed, and then a bunch of retards are going to watch a video of a drone killing a Russian and be like, we're winning.
I don't know why the other part matters, but if they're trying to take your land, you should be fighting for it. And if you're not fighting for it, then you should probably be executed. Like,
you think they should just execute them
in the street? Yeah, I think that if I think I'm not kidding. Like
the Russians would do it.
If they were coming around my little town and they were, I just came back from my second tour of fighting in Arkansas, and there's some coward across the street, I'm ratting him out, and I hope they kill him in the street or they send him to the front line without enough equipment, because that's what he deserves. If he's staying back here fucking his girlfriend while wherever they're fighting for Arkansas, death to you. You are not an American anymore. You are a treasonous traitor. You are a coward. You've broken the law. You signed that paper a long time ago.
You're close, Kyle, but he was fucking your girlfriend while you were off.
No, mine would be there fighting with me because she's not a bitch either.
How about there are multiple referendums in which New Mexico and their overwhelming population votes to join Mexico, like, and then you're pulled from your world in Georgia against your will and that of your families and forced to the front lines in New Mexico to fight for people who don't want to be part of the nation you're a part of anyway.
We resurrect Sherman and burn the place down until they become loyal again.
I'm perfectly fine with that. The whole reason that we have Texas is because the Mexicans were allowing mostly white soldiers to go to that frontier land and then not defending them as they were being massacred, raped, and pillaged by the natives. So when the United States took that property, it was because the Mexicans weren't defending that land. That's our land. So it doesn't matter to me if there's some people in Texas who don't think it's America.
Well, I picked New Mexico because it was a similar name and more fun.
Well, New Mexico can become the enemy. Anyone who's not down is an enemy. It's a war. This isn't like one of those internet arguments. It's like, we're shooting those people to death over there, you know?
Yeah, so, and it's if everyone of easy. Your buddies is getting conscripted and they're all dying, having their lives thrown away in their 20s, 30s, now your 40-year-old buddies are going, now your 50-year-old buddies are going, and there's no good result of it. People are just dying, getting thrown up against this wall.
I'm not going to go try to avenge my friends and my family members. I'm going to stay here like a coward and live a long, sad life. No, I'm going. If they kill you two, if you two are dead, the Russians have killed you two, or the Mexicans have killed you two. You think I'm going to stay here? People will be like, what happened, Kyle? Too. How did you survive the Mexican War? Well, I stayed at home. Well, didn't all your friends die? Yeah. All your neighbors, too. Yeah. How are you free? Well, no one knows. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. They're reporting me to the Mexicans. The Mexican government's going to hang me.
Get you.
Yeah.
After 9/11, I wasn't serious about like joining the army or anything. One, I'm pretty sure I was too old, like by like 2 years, and I had a family and I had kids and all that. Like, I just wasn't the guy, but I was like daydreaming and like thirsting for an opportunity to get back at them. And I even know anyone at 9/11. I got a coworker whose boyfriend was there, but he was fine. He was
lucky
under the Twin Towers. There's a really busy, well, it used to be a really busy train station, and he was in the train station when the planes hit. It shook. But he got out.
Yeah. No, I just
don't see it that way. Like,
it just hasn't been that long. Like the world didn't change. The people just have a different mindset. This is how humanity works. Putin still has that same mindset. He's trying to conquer a country with soldiers. I feel like if you lay down in front of that, you don't deserve to be a free member of any society. I certainly wouldn't want some coward fleeing from Ukraine to come here.
I wonder if France Ukraine and Poland are going to step up.
Ukraine, up until it became politically disadvantageous to acknowledge it, was well known as like the most corrupt mob state in all of Europe for decades. And then it
that's
was like,
true,
oh,
but
now
I
it's
feel like
freedom because we want NATO military bases there.
So, Taylor, I hear your argument and I don't challenge the facts of it, except that I thought that when Zelensky got in, people mostly acknowledged they're cleaning up their act and headed in the right way.
I don't think so. I think he just shut down elections. He's been attacking those
regions. Doesn't seem like the time for an election.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good example of being corrupt.
Why do you smirk at
that?
When we're talking about the third greatest president of all time and how he won the greatest war in human history, why is that smirkable?
Because he shouldn't have canceled the election.
How did he go for it?
Oh, okay.
FDR stayed in power until he died.
So we did cancel elections?
Yeah, that's how he got in. He effectively did.
Help me with my history. I think you guys both know something.
I don't believe there was another election. I think FDR stayed in power for a third term. Because the amendment hadn't happened yet either, hadn't it? Was the 22nd amendment?
It wasn't until after him that they made it. That's like, all right.
It was a tradition, though. No one had ever attempted a third term. But what I'm saying is they're not in some Gulf War nonsense like we've been, some little foreign excursion. They're fighting for their lives. The enemy's on their doorsteps practically. Their capital's being bombed. It's not time for an election.
That's fair. I think I'm with Kyle on this one. That makes a lot of sense. And he's been
also not time ousting, for the maybe a new general too. I don't. It'd be like in one of the NBA finals. And come on, it's time to hire a new coach. This
Ukraine changed their
up.
Generals like 3 months ago, 5 months ago, something like that. And they've gotten rid of a couple people for corruption, which I brought up to counter Taylor's argument. Which I'm not saying they're completely free of corruption, but nowadays, if you're corrupt, you get ousted.
There's so much corruption that happens in nations that are taking foreign aid that we basically control as proxy nations. Like corruption's part and parcel of it. Like when we give all that money to them, lots of their officials are getting kickbacks. They're getting advantageous future placement in American companies, boards, what have you, because of their participation insofar as we tell them to do it. Like, I don't think Zelensky is some overlord who's like controlling America or some nonsense. I think he's just another kind of vassal leader that we tell to dance and he dances and we give him money and then it's rerouted to wherever it gets rerouted to. Like, there's no way to keep all of that stuff accountable at a time of war. And given Ukraine's multi-generational history of having issues with mob control, the idea that it's like, oh, well, they're taking corruption seriously now.
I feel like it, like a good analogy would be like, we're trying to stop the ship from sinking with a leaky bucket. And does that mean that, and the leaking is the corruption. Is there corruption? Yes. But by and large, most of that water is going over the side.
It's what again, I go back to World War II because it's the United States saving the world against literal evil and us pumping so much money into the Soviet Union and of course into Britain so they wouldn't starve, so that we could win the war. It's what we do. It's what we do. This is an American intrinsic planet, right? Like we're kind of the boss around here. Forever. Who's going to beat the United States at any?
Forever's a long time. But yeah. Kyle's onto something. Like it, you know, when you're there.
If you look at the demographics and just the population rates, like we need those Mexicans to flood in here. Frankly, everybody else is in trouble. The Chinese one child policy. Do you remember when they did that? When they only allowed them to.
That's not pretty dumb.
We're seeing the end point of that very soon. It's not going to be good. It's no longer cheaper to build things in China, and they've never been the people who have the premier manufacturing techniques. As soon as it's less advantageous and less profitable to use those supply lines that are already set to use China's already not the place to go. The problem is the supply lines are there. As soon as India has the supply lines, China's in trouble.
I think
and their population is getting older.
Pretty terrible too, right? Like we're below replacement American citizens.
We have to be like
I don't
ahead
so.
Of everyone.
Our population's always growing,
but that's through immigration, not through
yes. So now we agree, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Immigration is a fine way to keep your population where you want it to be.
Yep, a lot of immigrants that won those world wars for us and built our country.
Yes, the Mexicans who built America.
Immigrants have a lower crime rate.
It was mostly the Chinese and a
higher entrepreneurial rate.
Chinese built that whole railroad.
I don't know. It seems like there's a certain political party, you can guess which one, who wants you to think that every immigrant is MS-13 gangster trying to rape your wife and daughters or whatever. Mm-hmm. But really, their crime rate is lower than ours, and their entrepreneurial spirit is higher than ours. They're not terrible people.
Well, I think a lot of people would agree that like people who come here legally are not terrible people. Most of the people I hear who have like huge umbrage with immigration are like, yeah, we don't want basically an open border where you can just waltz in and be a criminal. Like everyone who comes here illegally is a criminal.
The way that I like it, here's what my head is, and I'm not sure this might be politically incorrect. It's the next generation that you're gonna like. You know, the people who come here, who have the accents, who are set in their ways, they're a little more like a salad than a melting pot, but their kids are melted in and everything will be cool. Just relax.
I'm okay with the Mexican immigration. I always have been, more or less. It feels like they assimilate. It feels like they love the United States and our culture. It's the other people who come over who...
The Polish.
The people in Michigan who chant death to America. I don't know if you saw that week.
No, Kyle, they're entrepreneurs.
They are entrepreneurs. They do have an entrepreneurial spirit. Yes. But they also, you know, I watched that thing, and I'm talking about, I think it's Dearborn, Michigan, and it's the Arab group there, and they're fucking losing their shit. Death to America. But my favorite was Genocide Joe. Genocide Joe. I'd never heard that one before. Can't believe that Donald's not jumping on board with this. Donald should be the moderate on Israel. He should pretend like there's a better thing than what Joe is doing. He doesn't have to have it. He doesn't have to come up with
that.
It's like both of them are beholden to the same donors. It's wild.
Can you believe what he's doing over there?
In Trump's case, I don't think what he says is determined by donors. I think what he does is, but not necessarily what he says, because he'll say anything. And what he said is Israel needs to finish the job. And it's like, you could have got those voters, but now you're not.
No, because they're
all human life is sacred. I believe in winning a war and winning it all the way. Now he just said both things at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, he does that. The Trump chief said he's fucking
you drop that and walk away. Every life is sacred. I despise what's happening over there. When you fight a war, you fight to win. See you guys later. All right.
See you guys later. I got a call. I got a tea time.
Yeah.
You got a tourney to win.
I try to get my club examples of the Trump two-step right now, but like he'll say something, the world will go bonkers. He'll back off it, and then he'll just say it again and again and again. But we've already gone bonkers, so now he's clear to say it without frustration. Mm-hmm, yeah. The bloodbath thing was a good example when he was in the context of automakers going to Mexico or something like that. And he's like, it's going to be a bloodbath. But there was more to it. It was like the whole nation's going to be a bloodbath, like nothing you've ever seen before. That's the least of it. And then he like goes back to the auto thing. Yeah. Well, the world went crazy and they're like, oh my God, you know, he said it's going to be a bloodbath. He's being hyperbolic and predicting this apocalypse. And he's like, yeah, you misunderstood me. I was talking about cars. Bloodbath is an economic term. Look, now he's saying bloodbath at every fucking rally. And he's not doing it in the context of automotive plants. He's like, there's going to be a bloodbath at the border. I'm calling him bloodbath Biden. Bullshit like that. You know, so that's the Trump two-step. You say it, you back away, and then you walk back forward.
I saw Rogan and his guests debating that thing that he had said about the bloodbath, and young Jamie rolls the clip back or whatever. And it was interesting to see Rogan not get it. Like I listened to Trump say what he said, and look, I'm quick to defend him. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, like that's not the Trump two step. That's just Trump. He can't stay on one thing. God damn it, Trump. Why would you mention that other thing? But this time I was like, oh, he said the thing. He means a real bloodbath. He means both. What he means is it's going to be a bloodbath for the automakers. You want to talk about bloodbaths? That's what's going to happen if you don't fucking elect me and put me in the office. There's going to be dead people in the streets. That's what he meant. But yeah. But then the guest, he heard it the way I heard it because he was a very smart guy. He was a professor. So.
Okay. and he's like a smart person like me.
Like me. And then Rogan and the guest, after hearing the man say it, watching it happen on the big screen there, they still both have these different opinions about what's been said. And Rogan saying, no, you see, he was talking about the automakers. He's like, well, he was talking about automakers. He said things about automakers. But then there's an aside and he tries to lay it out and explain it to Joe. Joe's like, no, he's talking about. It's like, Joe, you're a comedian. You should get how this works. Like. He didn't though. Look, yeah. Trump said that, and he meant people might get hurt if you don't go our way.
If you don't like prevent anyone from wandering across the border, and that is true. Like you shouldn't.
No. He was talking about cracking heads.
Talking about a bloodbath. I thought I interpreted it as there was going to be a bloodbath, as and there was going to be sort of a localized war because people walk across the border. The other thing, Rogan looks at the world through these red tinted glasses so strongly that he can't. Honesty. Well, here's my favorite example. You probably saw it because it went viral. Biden was quoting Trump, and he said that we won the Revolutionary War when we took the airports. And Rogan is like, what a fucking imbecile. This guy's geriatric. He doesn't know what he's saying. He thinks the airports were there during the Revolutionary War. And then young Jamie pulls it up, and you hear it entirely, and Biden was quoting Trump, and then you hear Trump say it, and Rogan goes, oh, yeah, well, I guess, you know, Trump fucked up. No big deal. Whoa. When you thought Biden said it, this was disqualifying to be president. That when you now that you learned that it was Trump who said it and Biden was mocking him, it's no big deal. It was a little fuck up, whatever. Slip of the tongue. It happens to all of us. This is Rogan. Rogan is so far from being any kind of honest arbiter now. He's got the red tinted glasses on, and he can't see truth anymore.
I think it's just easier to see stuff on the other side with that. The same way like the good people on both sides thing. Like there are still people out there who will be like, see, Trump said he likes Nazis. He said the Nazis are good people. And it's like, well, maybe if like you just look at two pictures of that rally, like, and just look at the Nazis at night with their fucking torches, like there were thousands of normal people there.
You were there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. just hanging out. You know me, very politically active. And like,
you didn't know there was a rally that day. You were just visiting Charlottesville.
I was just having a time. I was trying to learn.
You were at an actual Tiki Torch party and happened to hold an actual Tiki Torch party. You're like, what the fuck is going on here?
He's in a bathing suit. Like, what?
Who's trying to replace us? What?
I was saying, let's go blues. and then I got on the wrong line. But like, it's just, it's easy to look at the other side, and I agree with you there, and see what you want to see and what they're saying, as opposed and always offering your own side infinitely more leeway and nuance. Rogan's, and being like, oh, Biden flubbed this name, what a retard. And then on the other side, you have people being like, Trump said to take Clorox and put it in a needle and inject it in yourself. And it's like, he never said that.
He said, was it disinfectant to inject
in
yourself?
What he said was almost like, I get, you're right, Taylor. He didn't say anything like that. But what he did, there was a time when he was like, they're saying they've got these powerful lights, these ultra violet lights. And it,
your impression's getting better.
And I'm wondering, could we use the light inside the human body? Could you
I don't know,
shine that light inside of me and kill that dirty virus, yeah, that Chinese virus? And it's like, no, we can't shine ultraviolet light inside of you to kill the virus, sir. We can't, no.
But you can get in the sunken bed and try.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's just not very honest from all sides. And it just happens to be that seemingly the right is more victim of it because they just have less control of the media.
Yes. I see the disinfectant that knocks out in a minute, one minute. Is there any way we can do something that by injection or almost a cleaning, it gets in the lungs and does a tremendous number on the lungs? It would be interesting to check that. He really did say inject a disinfectant.
We didn't tell people to do it, but he was pondering it. And that's almost worse. Like what about that statement?
No one, not one person injected bleach because he said that. He was talking about, hey, we're trying to, is there a way we could fix it this way? Can we get the bad parts out of your blood with some sort of injection?
The fact that he thinks like that is so ignorant. Like, you know, that's ignorant. That's the kind of thing that you would expect from like imbecile on the street that Jimmy Kimmel has handpicked out of the crowd of idiots to like not know what state he's in. Like,
yeah,
the way his mind has to function for him to be there. First of all, he has to be in a position where he thinks that he's the first person to think of that. He's going to go to his scientist and be like, hey, scientist man, 180 IQ, 4-degree man. what if we like took disinfectant and put it inside of us? That, I mean, it makes my counters 99.9% germ free. Could I, by ingesting Lysol, become myself 99.9% germ free? And it's like, yes, sir, you absolutely would. Of course, you would be very dead. Very dead, sir.
But all
very
the germs would be gone.
Well, maybe we could revive
take
me.
The good with the bad.
Take the good with the
and
bad.
And we revive me and not the germs.
I do think the disinfectant thing has been, like, the right is like, he never said that. He didn't mean it. My mother did that to me. She's like, do not say that Trump suggested injecting disinfectant. You will look foolish on your show. And I'm like, he did say that. I will say it on my show because it's true.
The fact you're having conversations like your mom is so funny.
I do, yeah.
I don't think he literally said it, but what I do think he did was the fact that he's like pondering it and he's out loud. It's what he's doing. He is.
I see disinfectant that knocks it out. Is there any way we can do something that by injection or a cleaning?
Yes, he's pondering and he's like,
yeah.
He's thinking of. He's like, would this work with that? He's asking questions. He's not saying, and I'm telling you, this stuff works. True.
Okay.
Get yourself a hypodermic needle. And, you know, he's not doing that.
They sell them on Amazon.
Yeah. It's a retarded
by the new Trump hypodermic needle. You only need one.
You only need one
needle for the whole neighborhood.
Actually, two, maybe two.
They come
in
red. Make America.
You're going to need 10 injections of the Trump vaccine. They call it the Trump vaccine, folks.
Rogan's interesting.
Remember when he was taking credit for that?
If you look at Rogan's list of beliefs or the things that he supports politically, very left-wing. Like if you put it on a ballot, everyone would be like, oh, man, if we could only get a Democrat like that in the White House, because it's just like leftist all the way down. And then there are these little points where
that's true.
It's I got a graph.
From what
somewhere.
I hear, he's super
the thing
liberal.
Is, I've
it's
seen
so
the
many things.
And it's like for example, universal basic income is one of the things that they list that Joe Rogan supports. He does not support that anymore. Joe Rogan has shifted. So they take these positions from 5 years ago and like, look at him. He's a leftist. And it's like, no, 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 no. Listen to what he's saying lately. And he can't see anything redeemable about the left.
I wonder why. Speak to Rogan. I don't listen to him, but he always seemed to me like a like one of those liberals who likes guns and like working out.
Catching strays here.
Like,
well,
like you're too far right for like a lot of the mainstream positions of like the Democrats.
Of course,
like they're like they're in favor of fucking reparations, and that'll come. Like that'll come down the pike. They're in favor of they're mainstream left, Democrats.
That's the left side of left wing, not the left corner or anything, but it's the left side. I'm interested in to know what Rogan's deal is. Like what has changed. I see him get, look, when people get older, they often get more religious as they just get smarter. You know, they realize that the Lord is in us all.
Mm-hmm. Start getting a little more humble. Yeah.
They're like, huh, so you're telling me the sun is exactly 400 times larger than the moon and exactly 400 times further away? Who did that? Except the Lord Almighty. That's Jesus Christ making that up there, making that perfect circle, meet that other perfect circle. And to me, that's the closest thing to proof that there's a God that I've ever even heard of. The fact that like only here is the moon just perfect to give us that perfect eclipse. It's absurd. Like it's a ridiculous coincidence.
I would say our own existence is a better proof than that.
I would say there is no God.
For all we know, there's like people just like us, like right down the road, like at the next star.
There actually are people like me down the road.
That's fact check true. Yeah. That's a fact. There are
other humans all over. You should have seen the traffic I went through.
I saw some at the grocery store today.
Rogan seems to have gotten maybe a bit more religious. Mm-hmm. And I see that like I know that the Phelan Fox thing was big. That was the first thing. Yeah. That was the trans MMA fighter who was dunking right on girls. That. Yeah. And I think that he got this backlash to that. And he was like, wait. I'm a lefty. Why aren't lefties with me on this? This is fucking common sense. Aren't we the common sense people? Aren't we those fucking believe in science people? You guys are the ones denying science this time. This isn't even some big environmental hoax. This is right in front of your eyes. Look at that man right there pounding that lady. She's hurt. Why are you cheering? And he got backlash on that. And then the COVID thing happened. I'm sure he went to the best specialist possible. And someone gave him that chloroquine shit. That
hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. He took both.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, I took these experimental medicines. I feel okay. And then he saw CNN take the video of him and put a fucking filter on it to make him look sick and then make fun of him on mainstream media. And he's like, dude, I went to my doctor and I've got a good doctor because I'm Joe Rogan. And he gave me this shit. And you took the video of me just saying that, expressing that to the world, telling the truth. And you made it a lie. You lied on me for your benefit to make you laughed at me. What are you doing? You were my people. It's one of those where like he's seen it. And then he saw them going after Spotify. He sees them calling him a racist and a white supremacist. And this is like Dave Chappelle's best friend. He tours with Dave Chappelle. I don't know. And he's Bill Burr's buddy.
I think you're 100% right. And like, so there's the part you were talking about, which is the left has a purity test. And if you're not left enough, they'll give you a hard time. You know, that I'm sure if I was more popular, they'd have 1,000 things they hate about me.
They'll come for your job.
Right. Also, forgetting about, you know, him just, I think just living in a place where it's the lefty, lefty, leftist place, which is like Hollywood, that he's surrounded by frustrating, annoying things. I've said this before, but I bet if Joe Rogan lived in Raleigh, he wouldn't be as annoyed by leftists because we don't have annoying lefties here. There's people like me. Okay, we do have annoying lefties here. But there's people like me, but not like extreme, how dare you wear your mask improperly? Or I see a break in the seal next to your nose, kind of, I don't know, twist the knife, put salt in the wound, just some sort of cry bully power play that you see in New York City, Hollywood, etc. He's surrounded by the most annoying of the left, so he left them.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake.
Although, to be fair, like where he is in Austin is more left wing than or more left wing than where any of us
in Austin.
Them.
That's true. Austin is unbelievably left.
I like it was Austin. Left. Austin's didn't know a fucking cool ass. Austin's a fucking cool ass place. I'm going to go to Austin this year. I just decided.
Yeah.
Maybe, do it. Do it. I'm going on vacation soon anyway. I'm excited for it.
Where are you going? When and what time? Your home be unoccupied?
Are you going to miss the show, or are you going to bring your gear?
Oh, I'll bring gear. I kind of consider doing a cruise as well. I'll pull upon you whenever I get closer to making a decision on that. Although, I don't know. I want to get into vacation talk. Anyway, Rogan, I think, got pulled along by all that. And then meanwhile, the right cozied up. The right said, hey, you're right. Like, why can't it just be common sense? I don't want to be muzzled. I want to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And Rogan's like a New Jersey blue collar working guy originally who has somehow pulled himself up to be the biggest podcaster in the world, the biggest like news source in the world, one of the richest comedians in the world. He just got another $200 million deal, except this time now his shit's on YouTube as well. So it's just way more, it's better for everybody. And Spotify's distributing it on YouTube, I think, which I took to mean they're getting the ad revenue from YouTube or something. Maybe he doesn't get that, but
I'm sure he'll be okay without this YouTube CPM.
Yeah,
if you told him they got rid of that.
It's $1 million a year or something. Into it.
Yeah. Oh, he could have made $201 million.
Yeah, something like that. But I think that's what happened, and I think that's what happens to a lot of people, because you'll eventually get to an area where you're like, whoa. Well. But my daughter's not feeling comfortable with that. She's scared. You're not, what are you, a Nazi? Well, what? No, I'm not a Nazi. My daughter's just afraid of that man.
Man?
Yes.
Wait, are we talking about bathrooms?
And it's lost. Like that scene in Invasion of the Body Snatchers when Donald Sutherland's just like, like you're one of them now. Now you see that as soon as you're not woke enough, as soon as you don't go that extra step along the way, and those steps, we always earlier I said reparations is like far, far left, and it is, but it's heading this way. It'll become more and more acceptable as time goes on, because who doesn't like free money? And one group loves free money, and the other one loves being like being the bad guy and like being guilty. So eventually, somebody's getting paid. I'm sorry. That's why I'm so happy with my 0.6% sub-Saharan African ancestry.
I think you're wrong.
I'm getting a check.
You're winning me you'll over. Like, think of how far we've moved
in the last 10 years. Like,
wait, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, like, it's going to come. Like, stuff like that will come down the pike faster.
Reparation.
Than you think. Like,
it's completely impossible to implement, right? Like, so
it would come in the form of certain groups no longer being forced to pay taxes. Would be my guess.
We're gonna have debit cards.
Or just straight up debit card.
It'll be
like,
debit cards.
Think about like 15 years ago, what the political left was, and think about what it is now. Like when people were saying like, yeah, you should be able to get married. Literally no one like, and if someone would have said like, you know, men dressed as women are going to demand access to your little girl's changing rooms, they would have laughed them out of the room and been like, that's despicable. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Crazy Christian. Yeah, right. Fundamentalist. And like now we're past that now.
Now
we're,
it's if I
we're
tell
one
you-
of the litmus tests of the left, the mainstream left is like, can men be women and women be men? And if you don't agree
the
with
moment
that,
Bill
you're
Maher
kind of
changed
excised
teams,
a little bit.
The moment Bill Maher realized what we're talking about right now is on film, because his guest is telling him, you know that you're slowly becoming the right wing guy, Bill. Like soon you'll be excluded. Soon they'll come for you. Soon if you don't agree that a man can menstruate, that a man can give birth to children, that a man needs menstruation products. Soon, if you can't, and the crowd's laughing, the whole crowd's laughing. He can't even
finish
that.
It was
thought.
Ann Coulter.
Can't even finish their thought. And he's like, what? Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. And then like the NCAA champion women's swimmer is a dude, you know, like, I saw that the thing below the NCAA, the organizing body that handles the smaller schools, like anything below, I guess, double like A or whatever.
One, okay. D1?
I'm not familiar with
it. Whatever it is. But they came down 20-1 on the vote, like no transgendered athletes in physically competitive sports. I think they allowed them in cheerleading and competitive dance, which makes sense. They're going to win that. Yeah, you've already got dudes out there as cheerleaders.
They boycotted an entire Woody's state.
If you could go back,
like, hey, just don't go to the bathroom. If you're an adult man,
we lost the fucking All-Star game. I don't want to hear about it. We lost the fucking All-Star
game. We lost an All-Star game too. It was basketball. You wouldn't care.
The NBA, It was a baseball all-star game.
Because people
we both lost the one we wanted.
Like
seven of my players were in it in our home field. Like, what are you doing to it?
We don't have a team.
You should have let those men pee next to little girls.
I don't know who should pee next to who.
It's so fucking easy. It's so obvious.
You know, just it's not
obvious to me.
You know, there's borderline situations that cause issues. And so I don't know what to do about that. I'll say this. Last time I needed a fucking public restroom where I had to get next to another person was so fucking long ago. Here's the solution. Fucking hold it, you losers. Fucking hold it. That should be the answer. Sorry. Hold it. And then maybe we need bathroom guards. I saw a guy.
No, just go to the one that whatever your sex is. If you're a male, go to the male bathroom.
What
if
you're a female, sex go to and gender the female are the bathroom. Same thing, you bigot. Jesus Christ.
Honestly, this isn't as simple to me as it seems to be to Taylor, because I don't want to say anything that's like Finster is a good example in my mind, because she passes so well, right? And Finster, anyone who doesn't know would think that she was born a girl.
You probably wouldn't look twice.
Yeah, I wouldn't even notice. That's just a pretty girl in the same place as me. And if she went to the men's bathroom there instead of to like a woman's stall, I feel like it would cause more of a disruption than to just go to the women's bathroom. And
I think that's like treating men and women as though they're the same, though. And that's not the case. Like, women are more threatened by people. Like, they're smaller. They're more fragile. And so it's kind of the same way that people who are, when you have like an abortion argument with someone and someone says like, I'm against abortion, I'm in favor of abortion. And then the in favor person is like, oh yeah, well, what about in cases where it's a brutal rape ring in an underground tunnel, and then and the baby is going to be born dead? How about then? And it's like, okay, well, now we're using
checked every box at once.
Now we're using like
dead rape. Yeah, oh, and the mother was going to die.
Yeah, and the mother was going to die. Now we're hitting for the grand slam. And it's like, okay, well, so now we're using a 0.00001 to justify everything else. But let's look at like the reality of it. Do you think Finster is representative of that community, like the way he passes? No. Like, what you would get is you would get people who looked like me and Kyle and you going into private spaces where young girls are changing. And that's not a fantasy. It happens already.
And here's the other
fantasy.
It's not a fantasy.
Of some gross people, yes. And
was the joke.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
The simple way to handle it is just logical. If you are a male, go to the male bathroom. If you're a female, go to the female bathroom.
The problem is it creates a loophole. Like here's the thing. Like, let's pretend like trans people are incapable of pedophilia. Let's pretend like that's the truth.
Okay.
But now the problem is you've created a loophole for all us dirty cis men. That's what we're legislating against, not against trans people. We want trans people to be wherever they want. They can shit piss in the streets if they want.
Mm-hmm.
But these cis men, we got to keep them out. And the problem is these cis men keep dressing up like ladies, wouldn't you know it? And we hate that. If you took that point of view, everyone in the room would be so confused as to how to feel.
Yeah, it works.
Like, no, we can't allow anyone to go in there. How do we know you're not a cis man in disguise?
Well, now that you've invoked cis men, you're using a population that's allowed to be criticized.
Interesting. Except on Twitter. Try to type cis men on Twitter to limit your engagement.
Oh, a lot of stuff limits your engagement on Twitter.
You know why? Come on. A lot of stuff from the same angle limits your stuff. You could say, Waffen SS forever, baby. That's going right through.
Oh, you don't use Twitter. No, that is not true. Go your stuff. If you're like anti-Israel, gets throttled. I'm not going to fucking tweet that. You know why I'm not going to tweet it? Because it would strike me down.
It's going to limit your engagement. What's the big deal? Nobody's going to see it. Waffen SS, baby.
Your point was that it wouldn't limit my engagement.
I don't think it will. I think it'd go out to everybody and be just fine.
Well, I'm already I'm still shadow banned on Twitter from years ago.
But I don't think you could say like,
how can you tell?
There's a test where you can search if you're shadow banned or not. And I'm search banned on Twitter. So you can't find my account unless you type it in the URL.
Get out.
No. Yeah. I don't know why it's been that way for a long while. Maybe because I got a little too silly back in the day a few times.
Let's talk about
maybe it was Dick Masterson.
Exactly. Pull up Jake Shields' Twitter.
Go ahead. Jake Shields. Dick Masterson was like, Twitter banned you for like no reason. And I'm like, no reason? Like, that sounds crazy to me. It would seem like they, like, what would they say their reason was? And he's like, you put out a few Nazi cartoons and suddenly you're a Nazi.
Dick's would be for like, I imagine it'd be for bullying. Like, no, his real reason, because I follow him on Twitter. He is.
Oh,
he is
the. He was joking when.
He was joking about Nazi cartoons. Yeah, what he actually does on Twitter is try to get people's goat all day. Like, he is the ultimate, like, whatever. He is the shape of whatever you pour him into. I will see him like going after people on the left, and then like three tweets later, after he's gotten a bunch of new fans for going after the left, he's like, "And all you fucking retard conservatives, get a load of this!" And he's he's just engagement farming, and he knows what he's doing. But he's good at it.
I watched a little change in gears here from war and politics, but I watched an awful movie last night. It was a Nick Cage movie, so I was surprised it was bad. I really was.
Your pattern recognition is not so hot.
No.
So this movie is called Butcher's Crossing. So I've been watching on YouTube. I've been watching this guy who tells Old West stories, like historical tales from the Wild West, Indian massacres, and a mountain man like fighting Indians in these situations, and it's really interesting stuff. And the thing I keep hearing is like the Indians are just awful people, just torture you to death. It was like their thing. And and so I saw this movie with Nick Cage where he was going to be a buffalo hunter. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fun. I bet they deal with. I didn't want to. I don't want any spoilers, but I bet clearly they're going to fight the Indians. And early on, he's like, yeah, I know a valley where there's. It's like the old days. There's buffalo that just make the ground turn black. And we can go up there and we get these buffalo hides. And buffalo hides are $4 a hide. And that's like the new price. It's like everybody's complaining. It's only $4 a hide. Like, but there's seemingly buffalo everywhere. And I don't understand why we got to go so far to get them. And for some reason, the whole movie is Nicolas Cage taking this team out. Way too far away. They almost die of dehydration to go to Colorado to hunt buffalo. And when they get there, sure enough, there's so many that he refuses to leave until he's killed them all. He kills like 12,000 buffalo, something like that. Like some crazy amount. Maybe it was 4,000. It wasn't like a godly amount.
Buffalo racist.
Yeah.
They're stupid. So you can just sit there and just one after the other, just kill the whole herd. And he's got like two skinners and he's got a guy pouring water on his gun to cool it off. And he's just, it sounds good, but it's not. I promise you, it's awful. It's not the way all the gun shit is stupid. It's like done wrong. Like it's, and I kept waiting for the Indians attack because he was like, the kid was like, "What's some rocks over there?" And Nicolas Cage is like, "Indian burial ground. I decided we'd camp in a special place." And I was like, "What the fuck? We're camping in the Indian burial ground, massacring 10,000 buffalo." Like I knew the Indians were coming. They never came. They never came. And when they finally got back through all their hardship,
there are no engines?
No, there's only like five characters in the whole fucking movie. And when they finally get back to the town, with their huge stockpile of buffalo skins, the bottom's falling out of the market. The guy's like, "I got 40,000 skins in that burn pit. Paid 10 cents a piece for them." And it's and Nicolas Cage is having this meltdown. I just turned this shit off. I was so upset. I spent like an hour and 40 minutes waiting for like something good to happen. Nick Cage was terrible. Just terrible in this movie.
He's not
a bad actor. He's not a bad actor.
He's an Oscar winner.
He's an Oscar winner.
He was playing Nick Cage.
Wow. He won the Pedophile's Choice Awards.
<That's> You're going bonkers on this. Dude, I have to talk about Chasing Latitude. Chasing Latitude is my favorite YouTuber of the week. Nobody watching this will like them, but I'm loving it. So I've been getting into these sailing videos. Sailing is the new van life. Remember how I liked van life like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Everybody was like checking out of their apartments, buying these vans and driving around like that was an amazing lifestyle. Well, they figured out that it's actually not that glamorous. And every time they go to the water, they often try to like have van life by some body of water. But that's where it's crowded and expensive and the police hassle you. Where they don't hassle you is the place you don't want to be. So they switched from van life to sailboat life. And now it's called island hopping. you might be better at geography than me, but I didn't realize how many islands were in the Caribbean and how you could like almost never sail more than 100 miles and go from Florida to like, what is the first stop?
Cuba. Starts with a, Cuba.
It's not Cuba. It's with a B. What the fuck is that? It's going to be really
Bermuda?
Bermuda.
Brooks and Bacos.
It's probably Bermuda. And then they go through all these, like, you know, the Caribbean islands. Then you can go to Panama and then back up through Mexico and Texas and stuff. And anyway, you can island hop in the Caribbean via sailboat and just live this really interesting lifestyle. Well, Chasing Latitudes has been doing this for a long time. And he just shits on everybody who does it. And he's like, check out Nicole and Danny. They bought this total trash can of a sailboat. They don't know what they're doing. And he just like ripped. They bought it for $65,000. It was worth negative $10,000. That was debt. And then they poured $60,000 more into it to make it even fucking float. And they don't know what they're doing. And then they sold it. And this dude, Chasing Latitudes is hilarious. He is ripping on everybody trying to do like what he does all the time. You never see him. You don't know what he looks like. And I don't know how old he is or whatever.
Yeah.
He sounds like a sassy gay guy. And he's just like, that boat is a total trash can.
Something bad's going to happen to this guy.
I couldn't watch enough of his stuff. I fell asleep to it last night. Yeah. I was just video after video after video on autoplay.
I don't even like the equivocation between van life and sailboat life, because sailboat life is so clearly infinitely cooler and better. Like, it's like, I feel like if I was a sailboat guy and I was talking about my sailboat life and some dude was like, oh, I get it. I've got a Eurovan, a 1988 Eurovan, and I live in Cleveland. I'd be like, fuck you. What we do is not even,
I live at Walmart.
Is not even tangentially similar.
Half of the YouTube sailboat lifers are van life converts.
Yeah, they came to the truth, clearly, because that's if you're gonna live as a vagabond, do it on a beautiful sailboat in the middle of the ocean.
He goes bonkers about, but I guess I don't know anything about sailboats, but there's a class of sailboat called island hoppers. And these are sailboats that are good for like 100 miles, and they might be able to cross the Atlantic, but it's not the boat you should choose for a task like that. It's a little more dangerous.
It's
a lot less comfortable. There's like a 33-foot sailboat, and you probably want to be in the 40s if you're going to cross the Atlantic or the Pacific.
You can do that.
This is my dumbass having watched, you know, a couple weeks of YouTube. Don't go by me. Yeah, yeah. But so he just like rips these people who buy the wrong boat for the wrong task, who have dreams of, they're like, they think they're going to be sailing around the world all the time. Well, they realize that kind of sucks dick. And instead, they just island hop. And, you know, which is, I guess, his preferred thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chasing Latitudes.
So help me.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose sometimes we're going to go to like a desert isle where there's nobody else there. And just like, let's look for coconut crabs and fucking look at that tree. It looks like a dick. All right, let's get out of here. And then sometimes you're like sailing into a port. And then it's just like party central, I'm sure, out there, like on the water. Like, there's... Is it, I guess, that and everything in between?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Yeah, sometimes
how
you
hard
have
is
the
sail to Guam.
That's cool. Like, that's a cool way to live. That's
Guam,
not like bands.
I couldn't find on a map, so I can't help you with that.
So Guam is.
Well, I can find it. I mean,
oh, never mind. That's all the way on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the Pacific. That's between Hawaii.
You could
and
sail to Guam.
Oh,
Guam is between Hawaii.
It would take
and
an enormous amount of time.
I found Guam on a map. That is the real deal. Yeah, that. And
well,
it's in the
scroll
Pacific,
out. Oh, yeah, okay, you did. Okay, I didn't see the map at first. It's light blue on slightly lighter blue.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not by Hagatana.
Guam is. Well, I guess it depends. If you're coming from America, it's the real deal because it's a Pacific crossing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're coming from like Australia, that might be kind of island hopping. If you just go to New Guinea, Indonesia, Philippines, and over to Guam.
Dude, you could do Indonesia your whole life and you'd never have to repeat an island. There's like tens of thousands of islands that make up Indonesia. That would
check out.
I'm so glad that you've pivoted to this from van life, because this is infinitely cooler than van life. And the fact that these van people are pivoting over to it and pretending, I'm glad this guy's ripping on them and being
you
idiots.
He's a blast.
You were sitting in a hot car with no AC that probably smelled like BO, and now you're acting like
they smell like shit. They have chemical toilets in them.
Kyle's right. And a better description would be they smell like diapers. because there's the chemical does something to sort of tamp it down, but it smells like diapers.
Not in the sea, though. Can you see the world is your oyster, and it's
back. That's why I always say
there's a man. Well, electric or manual, you just pump it out, and it goes in the water.
Yeah. Like maybe if you're a gay dude, you could travel around and get laid because dudes are fucking gross. But I can just, I would have to talk so much fucking like slick shit to a girl to get her to come and hop in my Aerostar. I would have to begin with like this big lie about why I was in it, first of all.
And yeah. I'm actually an eccentric billionaire.
Like, no, you I'm CIA. Playing I'm game on cover. Hard I'm doing surveillance on that building over there, but you can come hang out with me. You want to help me do surveillance tonight?
Val would be in the van. Be playing the game on hard mode here. To get sex in a van, but Kylie, his female alter ego, would be so easy. Oh. Imagine just pulling up in a van to any town in the world and being like, there's a mattress in here.
Kylie could be molested from shore to shore.
There's a line outside that van. Very quickly, someone with a better van would just pick me up.
I heard a really cool analogy. Like if sex is water,
I could get a boat guy.
Men live in the desert where it's hard to find water at all. Women live in the swamp where it's easy to find water, but it's hard to find good water. I'm like, okay, I see it. Did you hear that before? It sounded like you heard it.
It depends what your version of good is, I guess. Like our version of good is it requires very little.
Good is a man who pays for all my expenses.
Well, it's 666, right?
That's
six
good.
Figures, 6 feet, 6 inches or whatever, more than like top all those numbers. It's like, all right, but then you know that's not all there is. I love seeing there's a subreddit called Oh No Consequences. And
sounds terrific.
Yeah, it's a good one. It gets a little too political sometimes, but I do enjoy when it's just someone talking shit for 5 minutes to a bouncer who eventually has enough. I saw a bouncer clobber a guy last night, and just when right. I say clobber, probably dude's all in his face. He's behind that velvet rope. He's clearly giving him warnings. It's CCTV, so I don't got no audio. But this man looks like Bob Sapp. Like this dude's talking shit to Bob Sapp. And all of a sudden, Bob, not the real one, but like the bouncer version who likes to fight. And bouncer Bob Sapp. Like,
Bob Sapp's easy to beat.
Bob Sapp puts this man down with one horrendous punch plus a rushing attack. He's like the Juggernaut from X-Men. And the dude is done. The dude is on the ground unconscious. And Bob Sapp picks him up like groceries and throws him. And when I say throw, I don't mean drops. Usually in the you see... Oh, he threw him. No, he dropped him.
Men I can throw a man, but he might land on my feet. It's
there
not
you
a
go.
Throw.
We can't throw each other very far, for by example. Bob Sapp, however, bouncer Bob Sapp, threw this man a good 8-10, like covered and fell so poorly. Like it was, and his opening move was the clobber rush punch, and then this kick to the gooch, because the man was unconscious on the ground at this point, and he kicked him in the gooch so fucking hard. Just right in the asshole. Just kicked him so fucking hard. It was I enjoyed it.
Getting kicked in the asshole is terrible. My mom
I would not want to be kicked in the asshole. Oh. Especially with sharp shoes.
I was running. She got me.
Tagged me. Never forgot that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
PKN 503.